Good morning, NCU. How's everybody doing? Yeah. Oh, look at that. Look at that energy. Awesome to be in chapel with you again today. How many of you had class right before this? Nice. How many of you left a roommate still asleep in their bed? Uh-huh. Okay. Tis the season. How many of you have a class right after this? Okay. How many of you have a paper that you're putting off and you know you should have? Oh, okay. Same. I have a paper I'm putting off. I'm in the Masters of Biblical Theology program, and I have a paper due Sunday. But I'm going to probably wait till Sunday. But we're going to get it done, right? Awesome. Well, thanks again for being here. I am really excited to host our last day of Women's Week. Have you enjoyed this week talking about the role of women in the kingdom of God? Yes. It's just been a great time. I loved having Dr. Gill here and a number of our female pastors from the district. And today we have a really special treat. We have a panel of extraordinary women and my husband, who is going to talk a little bit about supporting women in leadership. Before I do that, I want to make an announcement. So I want you to listen. Make sure that you're listening because this is a really big, important announcement about a scholarship. So if anybody needs some money. Okay. Unfortunately, it's a women in ministry scholarship. Sorry, friend. All right, so last year, my husband and I, we just were praying more about how we can really support North Central, support the work of women who really feel the call of God on our lives. And so we started a scholarship last year for any female student who wants to go into ministry. So you would be a part of the CCL department. And so we have now started the Women in Ministry Scholarship Fund for North Central. And so it is a renewable $3,000 scholarship, $1,500 each semester, and you can apply for that online, and it is open to any female student who wants to go into ministry. And so you can apply for it if you're a freshman, sophomore. You can apply for it every year, and we just want to help get female students that feel the call of God on their lives through school. Help you get through school with minimal debt. So if you have questions about that, you can stop into One Stop, and they're going to have some information about the application process, how you can do that. But if you are looking ahead to next fall coming in, this is a great opportunity for you to apply for a scholarship that might help you make your education more affordable. So we wanted to let you know about that. Make sure that you check that out. But we are really honored this morning to have some of my favorite leaders going to be sharing a little bit about women in leadership and ministry. So would you stand to your feet and honor our panel? They're going to introduce themselves. Can you give them a hand as they come?
Awesome. Hey, everyone. Oh, there it is. Hey, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to chapel. Welcome, like Christy said, to the last day of Women's Week. We're so excited to be here. Alicia and I are just going to be moderating this panel today. So we're not really on the panel, but we're just happy to be here. So we're going to do some introductions. I'll start, I guess. I'm Rosie. Hey, everyone. I'm a senior this year, and I'm studying church leadership and business administration. So, yeah.
I'm Alicia. I'm a sophomore, and my major is business. Yes, yeah. And my major is business admin.
Hey, everyone. My name is Brianna Holland, and I am the lead pastor and church planter of Legacy Church in Virginia, Minnesota.
Hello, everybody. I lost my voice, but I'm gonna make sure that you guys can understand me today. I'm Judith, and I'm the lead pastor of Mont Sinai. It's the French-speaking church that I've been planting in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff Kerr. I am the husband of the wonderful Christy Kerr, who was introducing us today. Together, we pastor Homestead Church in Farmington, which we planted 9 years ago.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and kick it off with the first question. Do you guys want to tell us about your journey of becoming pastors?
So, like maybe some of you in this room, I grew up in an Assemblies of God church, and I had every full intention of coming to North Central, growing up in a youth group leader and all that. And so God shifted my plans my senior year, and I felt like he was telling me to go into nursing. So I went to Mankato State, got my nursing degree, worked as a surgery nurse for a couple years after graduation. I got married 2 years into college, and then we got called back to the Iron Range. So if any of you guys are thinking I'm never going to go back to my hometown, just don't say that to God, because I vowed that to God, and he brought me right back to that area again to minister. But it was, so I struggled a bit shifting that, because I thought, like, okay, God, why didn't you send me to North Central? Why wasn't that my story? It would have made a lot more sense. So I worked as a surgery nurse, stay-at-home mom. We started having kids and just stayed at home for 4 years. And I can bring you back to the moment on my living room floor with my firstborn son taking a nap on the floor next to me, where God told me that it was preparation time for what he had for me. And I just processed that with the church we were attending, with the pastor, and what does that mean? What does it look like and to move towards that? And so I started taking school of ministry classes. So life-giving to me. I was literally like pregnant, and then there was a season where I had a newborn in the class with me, and like it was just crazy how God provided. And all the while, I was trying to figure out why. What was this leading to? And God had to really build up my confidence in that season to be confident in what he was calling me to. And anyone here, family campers? Yeah. Go to family camp? We started going to family camp, and I remember driving down to family camp. We felt this call to this area of the Iron Range called the Quad Cities. I didn't feel like I was, like, would it work for a female lead pastor? How is this going to look? And I remember just driving down saying, I wish God would just confirm it. Like, so I know that I know that I know. Because if I had that, I would just step, because I know it's going to be hard, I'll just step into it. And the exact verbiage that I used with my husband that day was the exact verbiage during the altar time that Roger Stacy, was the church planning director at the time, came up to the microphone during the altar response, not planned, and said, there's women here today who are wondering or who are questioning their call to leadership in the church. And like literally what came out of his mouth was exactly what I had spoken to my husband that day. And we kind of looked at each other and we're like, okay, I guess we're church planning. And so it was just a journey of moving from there. We launched Legacy Church in January of 2020. We had 10 in-person services and then had to move online for 10 services. And, you know, if it wasn't for these critical moments in my life and in my journey that I knew that God called me to this, I needed that to hold on when my whole pre-launch strategy came crashing and burning because of a pandemic and just all these different things. But God has been so faithful. We've been, since we launched, we were set up tear down for a year and a half, and now we lease space in a strip mall right off the main highway. If you guys, who's been up to the Iron Range? Anyone? Wow, not very many of you. You guys need to come up. It's beautiful. but if you're going up towards Ely or the Boundary Waters, you're going to come right through Virginia. When you see Legacy Church on the Plaza 53 right off the highway, I want you to think about me and what God has done. But he has been so faithful. We've seen so much growth since being in that location. And, you know, people who don't like that I'm a female lead just usually don't come back. They come check it out and they don't come back, and it's okay. But there's been a lot of cool stories of how God has used just the way he's positioned me to help people where they're at. And so the main thing that I'm passionate about is everyone taking one step closer to Jesus. And that's the story of my calling. That's my story. That's what I challenge everyone who steps into Legacy Church to do, is be one step closer to Jesus tomorrow than you are today.
Awesome. My story is a little bit different. I come from West Africa, Côte d'Ivoire, and I grew up in the Christian family. My dad used to be like a local pastor, so he was a mentor of many pastors. And growing up, I see how my dad was, you know, so close to God. And I wanted to be like him. I was like, God, he was so different. So I started to pray, and I went to camp. Family camp is so important. I went to camp, and I was 12 at that moment. And they were talking about the Holy Spirit, how we can be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And I was like, God, if you baptize me, I'm going to serve you. And I started, that was just for 3 days. And the first day, nothing. Second day, nothing. And the last day, I was like, even if everybody's left, I'm going to stay in the room. Wow. Until you get, you know, you fill me by your spirit, God. Wow. And everybody was out, and I was there. Wow. And I noticed that there's some leaders that was just, you know, see how things going to, you know. And so I was like, God, please, I need your presence. And I feel his presence all over me. And I started to speak in tongue. It was so amazing. And at that day, I noticed that something happened in my life and I would be different. Yeah. So I started to go to church and, you know, get to the worship team. I'm a gospel singer. And I became the director of the music in my church and in the church. That was the Assembly of God Church. And one Sunday, I was supposed to lead worship. Sorry, I forgot to introduce my husband and my daughters, Max and Eunice.
Yeah, Eunice.
So I was preparing myself to lead worship because it's not about our voice. It's about the Holy Spirit leading us, you know, to bring people closer to God. So I was like, God, what do you want me to do? And that day, he said, you're going to read some scripture. So in Africa, in Assembly of God Church, women cannot preach. Women cannot read the Bible in front of everybody. You can sing, that's okay, on the stage. But don't open the Bible. Don't try to share the scripture with people. And the Holy Spirit told me, this Sunday you're going to share the scripture. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. I was already married to my husband. I said, oh, hear what God told me. He said, if it's God, do it. Wow. If it's God, do it. Yeah. So when I wake up in the morning, I was like, God, if you don't show me a sign, you know, sometimes we may receive something from God. We need to shake that thing and make sure that was God speaking to us. So when I wake up in the morning, I was like, God, if it's you, I'm going to carry my Bible. I'm going to be in the stage. But if you don't show me that it's you, I will not share the scripture. Because I don't want to be disobedient to the, you know, to leader, right? So that day I came in the stage with my Bible. Everybody was looking at me like, what did she carry her Bible today? And I know what I'm gonna do, right? So there is one lady who was supposed to sing before me, and it was my turn. And I said, Holy Spirit, show me. And I saw a hand. I never see something like that. That was so real. A hand, two hand, telling me, go. Wow. And why not? I just grabbed the Bible. The moment I was opening my eyes, everybody was on the floor. The Holy Spirit filled the room. It was so amazing. And at that moment, I knew that obey to the Holy Spirit is better than keep thing that God put inside. I don't know about you, but when God says something, you got to do it. Yes. Yeah. So at the end of the service, the lead pastor, the senior pastor came to me. Remember, in that church, women couldn't say anything, cannot, you know, read the Bible. But that day, the senior pastor came to me and said, you received something from God. We're going to pray for you. Yes. Wow. That was the beginning of something that, you know, never happened in that church. And he even talked to my husband and said, your wife has a call upon her life. You need to take good care of her. Yeah. So you receive the call of God, but you don't rush to get in that call. You wait for the perfect timing. Wow. So God's starting to make us travel around the world. We went to Central Africa. We went to Gabon. And in Gabon, there is a school of ministry over there that took us 3 years. So I was like, I'm just going to do this. I don't know what God's going to do. But so I do 3 years of training. And then we knew that God is going to bring us somewhere, because I have a dream where I was in a place where people speak only English. I speak French, right? And I wanted God to send me where people speak French too, right? But God said, no, I'm going to take you from your comfort zone to where you can rely on me. Because sometimes when, you know, you speak your language, you know your language, you feel comfortable. But when you know that you cannot speak and you put your faith in the Holy Spirit to lead you, that makes the difference. So seeing me speak in French like that is not me, that's the Holy Spirit. So we know that I'm going to be in the place where people speak English. And so we have been praying God. The war come in my country, and we have to leave. We didn't want to come, but the war make us. So sometimes bad stuff lead to good thing, because God knows exactly. All things work for our good. So we came in the United States here, and we didn't know where to go. We said, God, there's too many, you know, state here. What is the state that you want us to be? So we land in New Jersey. And one day in the dream, God gave me the name of Minnesota. And I asked my husband, can you search and see what is Minnesota? And he found out that Minnesota was in the north. And people said, it's too cold over there. You're not going to be able to. And so he applied for the job, and he got a job here in Minnesota. So we came in Minnesota, and we said, God, we knew that now we are in the land that you gave us. What do you want us to do? So we started to visit churches, and we found a church. And at the moment, we knew that we need to continue what God already started in Africa, right? So we get in contact with Assembly of God's district to see with my diploma, what can we, you know, adjust the things. So I have to pass 3 tests, and I get those 3 tests, and I get my credential last 2 years ago by God's grace. And so we start from scratch. There is no church. There is no people that we meet together. And we start with over the phone. 1 people, 2 people, 3 people, and then 15 people. And then one day we said, oh, why don't we start something? And then God opened the door. When he opened the door, the first Sunday, people came. The second Sunday, people came. And we knew that God called us. You know, I'm a lead pastor, but my husband is a real support to me. And, you know, sometimes you might think that you are the only one, but you're not the only one. God put someone on side of you to help. Even if he's not in the ministry, you know, like a pastor, but he's still there and he has something to do in the ministry. And so we start the ministry, we start the church, and now we have 50 people inside that church. People that speak French. People that speaks French. Can you imagine having someone listen to the voice of God in their own language, you know, their dialect, you know, that make the difference. So I'm so happy to be here and be able to share my story and to encourage. I have one last thing that I want to talk about. I've been invited in the Monk Church here in Minnesota. And that day I wasn't prepared to share something. But the lead pastor said, I want you to share something. I didn't know that in the room there is women that need a confirmation for the call. And I'm sure today, God, through my story, God want to confirm something in your life. You know, we may be afraid, yes, because we feel like we don't have strength. But it's not about our strength. It's about the Holy Spirit. That's the only one that can make things move. That's the only one that can make a difference. So that day, I think 10 women respond to the call of God in that monk ministry. Thank you.
Amazing. I want to just reiterate something that Judith just said. She's talked about how God brings you out of your comfort zone in order that you will step out and rely on Him. And that spoke to me. That was a word I needed to hear today. And maybe that's you today, where your first thought is, things are getting hard, things are getting difficult, it must be a sign to kind of step back. That's your sign to lean into the Holy Spirit, to lean into God's presence, to move forward. It's not a sign for you to shrink in anxiety, it's to step forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. That was a good word right there. I wanted to share just really briefly about our journey, my wife and I, to becoming co-lead pastors and doing ministry together, which we have done for a long time, 26 years, 27 years, somewhere in there, in the Twin Cities area. We met here at North Central, pretty much on this stage. We were in the chorale together and doing worship. We were both in the music department, and she graduated before me because she's smarter than me. And then when I was graduating, we had gotten engaged. We were about to get married. I was going through the process of getting licensed in the Assemblies of God to get my ministry credentials. And then we were going to take a job at a church where I would be on staff at the church as the worship leader. And we remember this very, very clearly when we were in the credentialing week, in the Assemblies of God leading the way in empowering women in ministry. This was 1997. Still in 1997, when I was in the classes, the training classes on how to be a pastor, my wife, soon-to-be wife, went to another class where one of the lessons was how to throw a good dinner party. And this was in the assembly. This is what the wives were understood. This is going to be your role. It was understood at that time for a woman who wanted to be a leader in a church, you had to marry a pastor and be a pastor's wife. For the most part, that was just the norm, even though the Assemblies of God was leading the way. So that was eye-opening. And I knew my wife had a call on her life. We both were called to leadership. We were both called to worship leading and pastoral leadership. Grew up in pastors' homes. And so we started this first job at a church in the Twin Cities, and I was on staff and she was helping. But throughout those years, I just saw her gifts and calling and talents and abilities just be so prominent that it was such a huge benefit to our ministry that we were doing together. If people saw me as the worship pastor, they didn't see hardly half of it because a lot of it was Christy's input and leadership. And then we started at another church in the Twin Cities where we were there for about 10 years. And seeing her gifts and talents thrive, there would be so many moments where there would be a decision that was made under our department or something that I had that implemented at our church that was all her. It was all her wisdom and brains and creativity. And I just learned that there were so many things that she was really, really good at. And God had called her to so many things. So 2014, we felt called to plant a church. We both felt this calling. We both felt like pastoring was what we wanted to do. How do we do this as a married couple? Can there be truly co-lead pastors? And so we navigated through that. And through the years, I have learned there are so many ways that she is way more gifted, way smarter than me, that there's just, as we planted the church together, both of us as equal pastors in the church. Now everyone would be like, well, who's 51%? Who's 49%? Like who? Well, that's Christy. No, that's, if it comes, you know, there. And I'll just say this, lead pastoring together as a husband and wife is not easy. Because there's all the times where you disagree or you're not getting along with your spouse and you have to lead a church together. And there's times where we are in staff meeting with our pastoral team and we don't like each other very much, but we have to lead this church together. And so it's a lot of conversations after the fact of, hey, here's what I think. We have grown into this leadership role together where we recognize there are certain things. She is just way more emotionally or spiritually or actually gifted-wise, talent-wise, geared towards navigating through. And there's things that I am more geared towards. We navigate through that together. But that was our goal. We planted Homestead, or our role together. We planted Homestead Church in 2015, 9 years ago. And we still get a lot of questions from people about, well, are there women leaders? Are there women pastors? And I'm like, yeah, it says right on, the lead pastor is one of the lead pastors. So it still is something we wrestle through. If you were in chapel yesterday, Christy told her story. And that is something we still wrestle through. But that was our journey to leading this church together and truly functioning as co-leaders, people both called by Christ, both empowered by the Holy Spirit to lead his church, and we wrestle through that together.
Wow. Yeah, you can clap for that. Those were all phenomenal answers. Thank you guys for sharing. Our second question is, what unique role do women play in the church, even pastorally, and why is it important to hear women's voices in the church?
Well, I think, you know, the reality is male and female are created in the image of God, and to have the most truest representation of that image in the body of Christ is to have the female voice and a male voice. As a female lead pastor, I am very intentional. Like, I only have a staff of one right now. But, like, leadership-wise, we have volunteer leaders. Like, I can't just hire all my best girlfriends, you know, and surround myself by the people that are really easy to do ministry with. And I'm very intentional at having males at the table because we need that in our church to be healthy. And so one thing that has been a prayer request of mine from the beginning was that Legacy Church would have a really strong men's ministry, but it was just more strong, like, atmosphere for men to be discipled and grow. It didn't have to be a men's ministry per se, but that is a reality right now. That we sent like 25 guys to Men's Advance last week. There's just this hunger, and all of them are just like stepping into that. So there's a reality. Men and women need to have a voice, and I just, you know, they bear the image of God equally.
I will say there is no competition. You know, sometimes we feel, oh, because we have men, women also need to be there. No, for me, it's the way God wants things to be. He says he's going to pour out his spirit over everybody. So that means even my kid can speak to me. So if my kid can speak to me, women also can speak. Where I came from, the pastor allowed women to come and speak when it comes bad money, because women know how to talk to people to take the money out. But a part of that, they don't want women to preach. For me, it's so important that we go through the Bible. We follow what God says. We obey for the beauty of what he want to do here in earth. So women was at the beginning, and I don't think we want to put women outside of the leadership. In my church, I have a lot of young women, that I can see the call of God upon their life. And seeing me preaching was like, oh, if she can do it, I can do it too. So, and I'm so happy for the Assembly of God Church that right now wanted to show that women can be in leadership. And I'm so encouraged when I go to the conference, CMA conference, you know, district council, see women preach in front of all those people. I was like, God, you are about to do something. And I'm sure that revival will come, men will be there, but women will be first.
There's the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit pours out on sons and daughters. And then there's unique voices and personalities and backgrounds and upbringings. And so diversity in that regard is of value to the kingdom of God, whether it's ethnicity, gender, different society backgrounds that you grew up in. When you combine the message and the gifting of the Holy Spirit with the diversity of different voices and personalities, it is to all of our benefit. So having women involved in leadership brings not only the gift of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is empowering them with, but their different view on things, their unique person. It would be the same way with a diverse church. We are a diverse church generationally. There is different views, old people versus young people, churches that are that have ethnicity diversity. There is such value in that. That is a heaven perspective. And so why would we limit limit anything to only a certain group of people? When the Holy Spirit is pouring his giftings out on all people, we want to hear all voices that have a unique personality and background to add life to the church.
That's good. That's good. To piggyback off that question, how can you best support women in ministry, and what's been helpful for both you women on this panel?
So on our staff, we have between part-time and full-time, 10 staff members. 6 are women, 4 are men. This has been, I guess I will, if we're asking the question, how do we support women in ministry? I'm going to reframe it with this. Why would we not? So if I look at me as one of the lead pastors, I think, okay, why would I not champion women in ministry? Well, there are some people, and Christy mentioned this yesterday, there are a couple scripture verses in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy, that are problematic for a lot of people. Paul seems to be saying women should not have leadership in the church. Women should not talk in the church, where a lot of denominations and backgrounds get their whole theology based on 2 scripture verses. Now, I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole of saying we can ignore certain scripture verses. I'm saying once you understand contextually what those scripture verses are saying, who Paul was writing to, you can kind of wrestle through and navigate through that this is not something that we see in the whole of scripture. In the whole of scripture, we see Jesus championing women. We see the first century church championing women in ministry. So once you get past the theology of it, and if you need to study and work through that, then I encourage you to do that. Once you're past that, then I say, well, why would I not? What's stopping me as a male from championing awesome female leaders in the ministry of our church? Well, one thing that would stop me would be insecurity on my part. So if I had a scarcity mentality of, well, I can't give opportunities to lead and preach to young women in our church because that means less for me. Well, that's an insecurity, scarcity mentality. That's the flesh in me, and we are supposed to die to that. So I'm not going to be ruled by that. And so I look at that and say, okay, I, as one of the pastors in our church, I am to steward the call of God on everybody on our staff, and I'm to steward the call of God on other people in our church. And I just go with the scripture of whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. We are, as the carriers of the gospel message, the Great Commission in front of us, to just sow generously, to cast seed and to sow generously. The parable of the talents, the parable of the sower, what is it calling us to do? Take the gifts, not only in our lives, but as leaders, the gifts of those around us, and sow them generously. Give opportunities. Give opportunities. Does that mean there's less opportunities for me to preach? Sure. Is the kingdom of God better for it? Absolutely. And so the only reasons I would see any men hindering women being leaders in the church is if they have a theology based on it, or if there's some insecurity. And I'll just say, even in the Assemblies of God, there are some male leaders that are just insecure, and they're going to kind of push down the giftings that they see in other people, whether that be people who are female or young ministers. I've been involved in staff settings where I felt like the calling that God had on my life to grow into pastoral leadership wasn't really championed. That's really frustrating to be a part of. Ladies, if you are involved in a church in the future that if there's a male leader that says, no, women are not allowed to lead, I would just say, find another church. Find somewhere that there's going to be a championing of your leadership. But if you are there, and I will use my wife as an example, even if you're not in an official position of leadership, you can be in a position of influence wherever you are. You can use your voice, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. But I would suggest find some churches that are open to stewarding the gifts and sowing generously into the gifts that you have, because If it's not theology and it's not insecurity, I don't know what else would stop us. There's the Great Commission. Why would we not want everybody who's called to go and reach the lost and to preach the gospel and to plant churches and to be missionaries, right? If that's you today, male, female, I want you to know God has a call on your life. We heard from Judith. The call of God was there, so undeniable. We need you in the harvest fields to go out and do what God has called you to do.
I also want to add something on what Pastor Jeff said. Today, being here in the United States, and be able to plant a church is like a miracle. And people are watching. Even I went back for my dad's funeral last year, and I went straight to see the pastor that was my pastor before when I was in Africa. And I just show him my credential card. I say, I become a pastor. He just look at me like that. He was like, we know. We know. We pray for you. We see what you are doing. Keep doing that. That means door have been opened. And going back, I don't know how the God plan. Going back one day in Africa mean people can take us like a testimony. You know, we didn't say, oh, because I have the call, I need to change everything. No, change will come. But let the Holy Spirit do what he has to do. Because when he do the transformation, you don't have to do anything. He's the one that lead the way. So for me, today is like a challenge for us to be able to maintain the word of God, to preach the truth. So all the people that we come after that, we follow our path. Yeah.
I think real practically, you know, those in the room that are going to have a pulpit ministry someday, make space for the female voice in that pulpit ministry. In the churches that you might lead, like actually look, you'd be surprised at what some bylaws say and what needs to be reworked. Yeah. Our parent church had to, like, shortly before, like, they were kind of in, shortly before they were parenting me to lead pastor of this church, they had to go through that process of, like, that a female could even be on the board. And, I mean, that's out there still in AG churches. So I think, you know, looking at that, setting things up for the future and just opening doors and opening conversations. So many times, I can't tell you how many times I was told, like, oh, we're going to, you know, this group of people, ministry people are going to go here, and I'm the only female present. So, like, okay, you drive yourself. You got to, you know, and just this whole, you know, you're going to have to come to your own boundaries with the, I have my opinions on the Billy Graham rule. That's not what I'm here to talk about. If you want to talk about it later, I will. But I had pastors not put that burden on me to figure out how I was going to get to these things or how that was going to happen. They opened the circle and made space for me. And it wasn't an issue and it wasn't a burden I had to figure out. Typically. And so I would challenge you with that. Don't put that on your female co-leaders and people, because that is something where every time when in these circles, a male-female relationship gets sexualized. And it's like, it's just disheartening. And it's like, we're all moving to just step into our call and to share the gospel. Right. So do what is in your power. For those of you who are going to be married or are married to someone who's a female who's called to ministry, there are moments, you know, when we first got married, my husband had no idea. He's a high school math teacher. When he married me, I was a nurse. You know, I was a nurse. He had no idea that this was the way our life was going. But he had to give me space to discover and to step into it. And there were seasons, like the season I'm in now, I need him to speak truth to my face, say, this is what you're called to. And like, I didn't need that when I was a nurse and different things that I struggled with. So there's like shifting with, ask the Holy Spirit, how can I speak life into my spouse so that they can step into everything that they have that you have for them?
And just real quick, my favorite thing about seeing my wife involved in pastoral leadership is for our three daughters and for the young ladies in our church who, if they encounter in the future a church denomination or a church culture that says, well, no, women shouldn't be leadership, their first response is, what do you mean? That sounds crazy to me because I grew up in a church where my mom or Pastor Christie was one of the lead pastors. And so representation in those positions of leadership is important because the people who are seeing it will say, oh, well, that could be me as well. It kind of turns the tide a little bit towards the, oh, that's normal. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And when you do encounter people who are trying to push that down, you say, well, no, that's crazy because that's not what I have seen. So that is important for you young ladies in the room to step into leadership so that the people coming behind you will see, oh, yeah, they did it. It's normal.
Yeah, that's so good. Next question, maybe one of our last ones. What truth, maybe it's a Bible verse, maybe it's just something that you know to be true about God, have you leaned on throughout your journey when times got hard?
I would say the thing that led me since the beginning until now is the clear voice of God that I had received. You know, that call wasn't someone telling me, oh, you have a call on your life, so you should be pastor. Even my dad received that when he was, you know, he said, I see you in another country. But I didn't lay on what he said. I said, God, I wanted you to say something to me. Because when you receive the word of God directly from you, from him, when come tough time, you can take out that word and say, oh, God, you say so. And because you say that, I'm going to rely on you and make sure that what you said be accomplished. So anytime that, you know, we lead a church, it's not easy to lead a church, right? Mm-hmm. And we have some stuff coming up. And God, through the Holy Spirit, remind me, I'm the one that called you. Yeah. Remember the word I gave you. Don't listen to the devil. I'm the one that called you. And till I come back, you need to be on your position. You need to be, even people doesn't, you know, some people doesn't say pastor because they say, because I'm a woman, they say my name, I don't care. The moment I can preach, I can, you know, do what God called me to do. So for me, that was a scripture. God, give me a scripture. I think it's in Joel, you know, where he said, I'm going to pour my spirit over everybody. And that scripture make a difference in my life. So, yes, you feel the call of God upon your life. Yes, people come to you, your pastor, your leaders, but ask God to give you a word. Ask God to give you a word that you can really, when tough time comes, when you're starting to question your call, if you have that word, nothing can shake you.
John 15:16 says, for you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. God gave me that verse at winter retreat when I was a youth. And I didn't know what it meant, but God has clarified that verse in every season and given it new meaning. And so when I doubt, I come back to that verse. I come back to the altar moments, the moments that you have here at these altars, like linger in them. Let God solidify things in your heart that you can come back to. And I just feel, as I was praying coming up here, I felt real strongly, and I don't know how women in ministry this is, but it's a word for people here. God can open and close any door. And I guarantee some of you are making some hard decisions right now. You're navigating through something where you're like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? And I want to encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit and move. towards it. Because if it is not for you, God will close that door, and he can close that door in movement, and he can open that door in movement. And that is how things have, God has brought things together, and he has positioned me where I'm at, because I trusted his mighty hand to open and close. But you can't just sit there. You need to move in obedience. And so however that looks for you, I encourage you in that, but that is something I hold on to. Right now, we're discerning something, a big step for our church. And I'm just like, God, if this is you, I'm moving towards it. If it's not for us, close the door. And I have so much trust in that. So I just want to encourage all of you here with that.
2 Corinthians, I already said it, whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Whoever sows generously reaps a generous reward. I think of the parable of the talents, where the servants were given certain things to invest, to be good stewards of while the master was gone. And so I think about that with my life, my leadership. I will stand before God one day and give an account for how I used what he gave me. But anybody in leadership, you will stand before God and not just give an account for what you did with your own resources, but what you were in charge of or what you were stewarding. So I will give an account for how did I steward the call of God on young people that he brought into my life in our church? How did I steward the call of God that he was raising up in the youth group of our church? I will give an account for how did I cause my wife in her spiritual giftings to flourish in the call of God that he had for her. And so I'm gonna give an account. I want to be someone who just sees it as, I don't want to be the servant that's holding on to things out of any sort of insecurity or scarcity mentality. God has called and gifted, and I want to sow generously so that God's call can be evident in everybody.
Yeah. One last question. What's been the most rewarding part of being in ministry?
I'm going to go. When I look back, it's been 10 years that we respond to the call of God, that we came here in the United States. And when I look back, there is people I will never meet if I didn't say yes to God. There is transformation that will never happen. I know God can use other people, but I was witness of, you know, we witness those transformation. We witness people that give their life to Jesus. And for me, it was the most important thing, you know, that money cannot, you know, resolve. And for me, that was the impact, you know, that the world that you said, having people follow Jesus, having people hear the voice of God, be healed, be delivered by, you know, all the demonic stuff, and be free and be able to serve God. Yeah. That was, for me, my reward. That was my money. That was my treasure. And I will do it again if I have to do it. Thank
you. I helped fill in on a Wednesday night in our elementary kids, and my husband leads that. And I heard him talking with the kids, and I was kind of in the back, and he was talking about obedience, and he was saying how we wouldn't have a church today if Pastor Brianna, like, we wouldn't have this, and, you know, talking about different things that have happened in our church if Pastor Brianna wasn't obedient to the call on God's life, on her life. And I remember just kind of sitting back and thinking, like, God, you're so good. You're so faithful. And so just lean into that it's worth it. It's worth all the hard stuff, all the messy stuff, your obedience to him. Yeah. It's worth it.
And I see the countdown running out, and I know you all don't mess around when the countdown is done. You're out of here. I'll reiterate what they did. You will never, what they just said, you will never have a more fulfilling moment in your life than when you step out in faith in something that seems daunting or scary, or something that you feel God is calling you into. When you take a bold step of faith and then you see God come through with a miracle or fruit of that. What they have just said, that there wouldn't be a church if they hadn't said yes, that if Judith hadn't opened her mouth and preached that day in church where God was calling her to do that. You have those moments where you're going to say, wow, I'm so glad I obeyed. I'm so glad I listened. And so for my wife and I, our favorite thing is together as husband and wife, we can say, wow, look at what God did. Look at what God is doing. Look at what we get to be a part of. And because it was something that we were willing to step out in faith, when you obey the Lord, You're obedient to him. You step out. You're going to see him do amazing things, and that is just going to be the best thing that you'll ever experience.
Amen. Yeah. Pastor Judith, would you mind just praying us out of chapel real fast?
Do you allow me to pray in French?
Yes.
That's going to be a blessing upon everybody, but especially over women here, because I'm sure you receive so much. I can see anointing over your life. I can see talent. I can see so much thing. And I pray that God open your eyes, that you trust him for what he put inside you. You lay on him, not on your own, but just let the Holy Spirit do what he decide to do with you. Seigneur Jésus, je veux te bénir et te dire merci pour ces moments précieux que tu nous as donnés. Seigneur, c'est toi qui as permis ces moments pour ouvrir les yeux, les oreilles de toutes ces jeunes femmes ici dans ce lieu que tu as appelées à te servir. Seigneur, je prie dans le nom de Jésus-Christ de Nazareth que tout ce qui est opposition, tout ce qui n'est pas de toi, tout ce qui est peur, qui empêche ces jeunes femmes de se lancer dans l'appel, que cela soit brisé dans le nom puissant de Jésus de Nazareth et qu'elles puissent te faire confiance en acceptant de te suivre, en acceptant de te laisser faire ce que tu as prévu faire. Père, remplis-leur de toi, remplis-leur de ta force, de ta puissance, afin que Saint-Esprit, elles soient des instruments puissants entre tes mains. Nous te bénissons, nous te glorifions parce que tu es vivant dans le nom puissant de Jésus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can we thank our panel? Thank you guys. Well, thanks for coming to Women's Week. We've had such a good time. So happy to have you, and we'll see you at chapel tomorrow.